Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
South Africa has been a joke enough this last week. Well, maybe it's been a little bit more than that. And we are joined this morning in order to try and figure our way forward by Musi Mamani. He's Build One South Africa president. Musi, a very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, and good morning to fellow South Africans. I think it's a very difficult question to ask.
Absolutely.
How are we
doing? that is absolutely right. And I want to, because we've been feeling incredibly, incredibly anxious. The ambivalence, I think, that we are feeling, and that's really the question I want to ask you, is that we know in theory we need to demand a high standard from leadership. We need to demand that there's no corruption, that our president holds himself to be accountable. But at the same time, when we know what's waiting in the wings, for example, within the ANC, and we know why they have pushed for this to come to light, to some extent we feel manipulated and we feel very afraid, because sadly, he's still better than some of the corrupt cronies that are in the wings. How do we deal with that?
I think first and foremost, we need to take a long-term view on both ends. First of all, to say to ourselves, this is a significant moment in our country. Secondly, to be deliberate about what we need to do. And say to ourselves, you know, when we're confronted with difficult situations, at times you need to then go back to what the principle, or in this instance, the Constitution expresses. It is hard for many citizens to face the idea of President Ramaphosa stepping down, but I think it's an idea that they need to get through, for the simple reason that if we don't uphold our constitutional principle that says, look, if you take on as head of state, your sole duty is to uphold the Constitution. And if you are found in violation of that, whether that resignation is today or in a few months' time or whenever, The reality is that's the standard we hold ourselves to. But here's the more crucial issue, is that this is not just a referendum on President Ramaphosa, it's a referendum on the ANC. And I think part of the anxiety we feel as citizens is because we've beholden ourselves into the belief that the only place leadership can come from is in the ANC. So then we fish in the ANC pool as if that's the only pool available to us. I think we need to say to ourselves, the next year and a bit, we need to set up a transitional government so that we focus on the things that matter, and not that this doesn't matter, but in truth, for ordinary South Africans, the electricity, the crime situation, healthcare, those things are what they wake up to every morning. Prep that for that next year, and then say to ourselves, we go into an election so that we widen the pool of presidential leadership that we can have. Otherwise, this continual feeling of anxiety will be with us for generations to come, because the ANC has a revolving door of leaders who have been found guilty for one thing or another.
So what happens in the interim, though? Because there's a practical side of it. I mean, if we see a David Mabuza, we see a Mkhize, we see a Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma stepping into the role, will South Africa survive the next 2 years of that type of leadership?
I think certainly South Africans are profoundly resilient, and I think we can't inflate a fear that it's going to be hard. No one is saying it's going to be easy, but that's why I made the proposal to say in a transitional government, we need multiple players in cabinet. We perhaps need to ask someone like President Motlanthe or someone of that stature and ilk to be able to step in the interim role, because the ANC will be embroiled in its own internal conference. So frankly, you can't allow factionalism to play out on the national stage. It
Absolutely.
Must be an interest.
Yeah.
So let's set someone up in place of that nature and transition for the next 18 months, because that's all it is. And in the life of a country, 18 months, well, it is long in the life of a citizen. In the life of a country, that's a relatively short time to be able to go prep the nation for an election that must be held sooner, so that we can ensure that we elect the right leadership.
The positive in all of this is it has heralded the demise of the ANC a lot quicker than maybe we would have hoped, because all of this is now playing out. There's no pretense anymore. The ANC spent many, many years pretending that they were a united party and never really wanted to display its internal struggles externally. In fact, it was almost an obsession within their style. Now we're seeing this all play out very, very publicly, which I would imagine is a good thing. What's your thoughts on it?
Yes, certainly. I mean, you know, all of us would have been hopeful when President Ramaphosa got elected. I can remember the amount of almost, if you like, hate mess I got when I said the issue here is not who we get in the ANC leadership. We have an ANC problem.
Right.
And whether it was President Zuma, whether it was President Ramaphosa, I said that is the issue, because on key indicators, I mean, set aside the corruption of the ANC, on key indicators, the reality is our kids can't even get through school. 40% of our kids drop out. The lights are not on. Water in certain suburbs is off. And in truth, citizens don't feel safe. So on key indicators, the ANC has been failing us as a country. So I guess the sense of change, as scary as that prospect is, and as difficult as many people might think it will be when they look at coalitions, I would bet on the fact that we have to go through that. Because if we don't, we subconsciously enslave ourselves to the idea that the ANC must govern forever, because we just can't think. The alternatives will arrive. South Africa in the 1990s, when the Nats were in power, given that they were running such a heinous program such as apartheid, the fears also did exist that if you hand the party over to the ANC, et cetera, back then, people said that'd be a disaster, that'd be mayhem, that'd be all of the chaos, that'd be bloodshed.
You will remember that. Absolutely. Period.
But we mustn't fool ourselves again to not think we actually transitioned and we got through. When Mbeki was being recalled as president, everyone was like, no, now, there's my next set of baked beans I need to buy.
Right.
But the truth is, we transitioned and we will again, is all I'm saying. And the cabinet of 1994, when you look at the median age of that cabinet, these were in many ways 30, 40-year-old. Today, think about Trevor Manuel, Tito Mboweni. They are men in their 60s, you know. But in truth, they were in their early 30s, early 40s. So let's not think that the opposition or the alternative must be a ready-made product that will just slide into government and will swim into Nevada. The truth is, we will have to build it. We will have to work on it. But I'm asking citizens to say, let's trust that process rather than enslaving ourselves to an eternity of ANC.
Do you think, and a few of our listeners are asking it, do you think, you know, there's been this almost, not instinctive, but just this almost blind support for the ANC, maybe less within the urban areas, more in the rural areas. Do you think that has changed or will change at the next election?
Undeniably so. I mean, I think it's changed in the local government elections when we saw two variables happen. The first is that the ANC did dip below 50% and lost many of the major metros. And secondly, voter turnout declined. Now, I know that is something we should lament, but it's also an expression of a choice. It's when someone says, I don't feel animated enough to go turn out for the ANC, so I'm just not going to.
Yes.
But also, in truth, you know, broadly speaking, 20 liberation movements all across the continent suffer the same fate. They really do. We're not unique in that sense.
Not at all.
In that when you think about the change in Mozambique, Malawi, Zambia, Zimbabwe, all of them went through this phase where in the 30-year period, actually citizens get to a point where they're like, this is just not happening. And the appeal I would make on this show would be to say to the young people of this country, there are 3/4 of young people can't find jobs. They need to turn out and vote because it's going to be absolutely vital for their future. So I'm not gleefully going, let Ramaphosa go so that we can accelerate this thing. It is hard. It is painful. I I know what many people are going through, because it's like the death of one generation. And then for many South Africans, these are their parents. They watched them succeed in some ways. If you think about the 2004 to 2008, they saw the ANC do well. So what's happened to the ANC is painful in some ways, because this is the party of Nelson Mandela. But having said that, we bet on democracy. And if we bet on democracy, it is indeed a necessary bet about change. So I jokingly woke up and said to my family, this feels like a breakup, you know? A moment of silence, no speaking, and then a natural separation. That's what we are going through.
Well, actually, Musi, yesterday I wrote myself an email. Because this is, and I try to capture it, it's just how I process things. And I said, dear Howard, there are days when anxiety is in the air, when it's palpable and present. Today is one of them. The news that the president is likely to resign is unnerving and no doubt adds to the discomfort that everyone is feeling. But it is worth remembering that a country is more than its president. It is a complex system with checks and balances, and we have proven over and over again that we are able to withstand political turmoil. Whether the president resigns or not, tomorrow is still going to be Friday. We're going to wake up, we're going to make coffee, we're going to go to the radio station, have a laugh with listeners, with family and friends. We will be okay even if we are anxious. And that's I wrote an email to myself just because I felt like I needed to hear that. And I do think that. I do think that we are robust. South Africans have proven, we proved it in July last year, that we weren't going to succumb to violence. And yes, of course, there was an unacceptable amount of it, but South Africans put a stop to it. And South Africans in many ways have proven that we are that we demand good, and we are good.
And I think the point, thank you for that mail, because I think more and more citizens need to hear that. But along with that, I would also celebrate that when the chips are down, our institution stands strong.
Absolutely.
If you look when President Zuma, at the height of corruption, it was the Constitutional Court that stood up and said, Parliament is allowed to vote via the secret ballot, and that in many ways accelerated the change. When Judge Zondo was confronted with the nature of state capture, without fear of contradiction, tabled a report that found people to have been complicit in that. Now, three independent panel of judges have stood up again to another president.
Right.
So when you say compared to what is South Africa, in many countries, there would be no such a judgment against a sitting president. You could just as well forget it in countries that are in authoritarian rule, etc. And these are not countries we would think as in like North Korea.
Mm.
These are as basic as countries like Turkey and many other parts where, in fact, judges are under the pressure of the government. So to me, we must celebrate the judiciary in this regard.
And that is where we leave it. Absolutely right. And thank you for that, because I think that what you did was addressed many of the concerns that many of us are feeling. Musi Mamani, Build One South Africa, President of Build One South Africa.